When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I got to project the ball more, absolutely. I'm not throwing picks where I'm, you know, not seeing the coverage. You know, I see what's going on, and whether it's a tip ball or, you know, there was a few that, you know, they got me on. But I'm processing it. I'm going to the sideline. I know exactly what happened, why I went there. So there's things I can build on, but the bottom line is I got to protect the football. So that's definitely something that this back half of the season needs to be a focus, you know, for me.
And Max, you know, I think it's well stated by Kenny Pickett, who I prefer to now refer to as the Sundance Kid, because he's better when he moves. All right. So, got Kenny Pickett. He says, he comes out there and he says, I'm not throwing picks where I'm not seeing the coverage. I see what's going on, whether it's a tip ball or where there are a few that they got me on. But I'm processing it. I'm going to the sidelines, and I know exactly what happened and why it went there. These are things that you have to be self-reflective in. It's important. The growth of a quarterback is a little bit different than a lot of other, just about any other position in the NFL, simply because of the fact there's so much central intelligence going on and being accumulated by the quarterback, and he's got to disperse so many different things and control the rhythm and flow of everything from the huddle to the line of scrimmage to post-snap stuff. So there's a lot of things to process, but the good part is, in my mind, listening to Kenny in a very calm way explaining, look, it's not like I'm not seeing the coverage. You know, they get me a few times. Okay, I got 8 interceptions and 165 attempts. It's my bad. Some of them, you know, there was the one where we had the interference call or non-interference call on the seam route that, went down and he picked it off. They got picked off on, which I thought was abhorrent. But the fact of the matter was, as Kenny talks about it, he's processing the info. It's not like they're not fooling him huge. He's understanding what he's seeing.
No, you're absolutely right, Wolf. And, yeah, that non-interference down in Miami on the Chase Claypool.
Yes, thank you.
Seam route was exactly one of those prime examples. Or the one where it bounced off of Chase Claypool's chest.
Right.
Yeah, we were playing against – what was it? It wasn't – it was the Jets. Was it the Jets?
I don't – well.
When he came in. When Kenny came in the first game in the second half.
Okay. All right.
That was a Jets game, yeah. The one that bounced – we were going towards a closed end of the stadium, and the ball bounces off of Claypool's chest, and they intercept it.
Yes.
There's just – like you said, but you're happy because this is the rookie process.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the NFL. Welcome to the NFL, everybody. This is what the rookie process looks like, and the fact that he knows exactly – you know, what he needs to do, being a more mature quarterback coming into this league, I think just bodes well for him. And you hear that. There's a calmness, there's a confidence in that speech, and there's that accountability. You know, there's not necessarily blame shifting or it's not me. It's constructive criticism from a self-evaluation. And I thought that was something that you want to see in your quarterback. You want them to take accountability for, but also – but now that you've said it, you've put it on the record, now from this day forward, let's see what you do to change that narrative.
Yes.
Right?
No doubt about it. One of the
more
things.
More tutties and inties.
like that.
Here's the thing about it. With Kenny, I think one of his strengths is now we've understood that he can be much more mobile. He can be one of these guys. Think of this. He's 23 or 29 for a $175, either under center play action or rolling the pocket. He's better when he moves.
Can I move?
Yeah.
Move. What the hell you mean move?
I'm better when I move.
Thank you, Wes. Nice job, right? That's listen, from Butch Cassidy. Go ahead. That's from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I was just about to say, investigative journalism at its best right there.
I love that scene because you got Paul Newman and you got Robert Redford as, you know, they're doing the whole thing. And they're with Strother Martin, who's this Wild West, you know, character. And so he's testing them out to see if they can shoot. And it's so great because the Sundance Kid goes, well, can I move? And he goes, well, what do you mean move? And then he moves and he shoots. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess you shoot better when you move. Well, I think it's the same thing with Kenny. One of his strengths is his ability to use his legs to get out on the periphery. You got to sprint out. You got to reverse roll out, those sorts of things. It gives him an opportunity to divide the field into thirds and be able to throw accordingly and not have a whole lot of crosstown traffic to deal with.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. I think in today's NFL, a prerequisite has to be that you have to be a mobile quarterback. I mean, when you look at around the league, that is something that you need to have is mobility. And not saying you need to be a dual threat,
right.
You got to be a running quarterback, this, that, and the other. It's the willingness and the ability to. That's all we need at the quarterback. Capable, right? That's what you need at the quarterback position. Because as you look at the starters in our division alone, right? I mean, between Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Jacoby Brissett, all movers.
Yes.
And a couple shakers, you know? And then, I mean, just and look at the NFC South. I mean, Brady is that one exception, but the reason why Marcus Mariota is having success this year, right? He can move. You know, Andy Dalton, not as much success because he can't move.
Right.
You know, and Carolina is just Carolina. We're just going to put them in a whole separate category for right now.
Well, here's the thing.
Mobile quarterbacks are leading.
Let me throw this at you, okay? Because you played with the great Ben Roethlisberger for so long, and he was a mobile quarterback early on. He was one of those, and he was unbelievable extending the plays. But he was one of those guys, he was stirred, not shaken. You know, like James Bond. Yeah. There you go. I'll give you another. James Bond. All right?
There we go. I like it.
Yeah. So the point being is, it didn't, how do I put it? He didn't need to be the dual threat because, first of all, he was so good with his arm. Second of all, staying alive in the pocket and everything else. But, you know, you get to have different – every quarterback's different. And I think what you're saying and what the NFL is monopolizing on now offensively are mobile quarterbacks. Not necessarily dual, but certainly you got to be mobile.
Absolutely. Every quarterback that's in this league that's successful this year, that's leading their divisions – Probably better guess. They're all mobile, except for Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's only because nobody wants to win the NFC South.
he's another one that's stirred, not shaken. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this for Ben. Ben was dare I say it a dual threat. It
right.
was you had to worry about him throwing on you or him knocking you down. That was really his only way. It was either a stiff arm or a bounce into. You know, I mean, Ben was just a big dude.
Yep.
And he knew how to move around, not necessarily north and south, but he knew how to move around to create what he wanted to create. And that was something that was a big blessing to have that mobility in the pocket.
Now, that can also be a curse, too, for the offensive linemen. Because when you're unaware of where your quarterback's going to be, you have a problem because you just never know. One good thing about Ben, you knew where he was going to be predominantly, and the fact is he had such great awareness. I mean, he had that samurai sixth sense going on about him, man. You know, he was always aware of the rushers coming at him. One of the greatest throws I ever saw him make was in the Super Bowl 43 when he ducked two Cardinals and came up and threw to Heath Miller standing at the first down yard to gain, the first down marker. I even asked B.A. after the game, was that planned? Is that I mean, just the way he came up out of ducking two pass rushers and chucking that baby to Heath, I was just sitting there going, it looked like it was planned, but he just came up out of him. It didn't even look like he looked before he threw. He just threw it. And B.A. said, well, that's when you plaster coverage and it breaks down and it's going like that, that's where Heath goes. He goes to the first down marker.
Yeah. I'm glad it looked that easy. That he, you know, he would think that.
There's a lot he makes look easy, my friend.
No, I mean, but blocking for him.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Like you said, knowing where, you know, us knowing, we had no clue where he was going to be.
especially my first 6 years.
But especially my first 6 years, you're like, why are you behind me right now? Why is this guy reaching over my shoulder? He stopped his pass rush, and the guy's like trying to jump over me as though I'm security at like a concert and a boy band's come in. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. And then, you know, you get back in the huddle. He's like, yeah, man, you have better protection. You know, it started to leak a little bit to the right, so I just drifted behind you. Well, thank you. Thank you for telling me that now. Could have used that information a little bit earlier, you know, in the contest. But that was the beauty of Ben. His off script was always on script for him, and so you just had to just feel the body and the eyes of the defender to know where Ben was, because like you said, he could literally pop up behind you. When I tore my ACL in the Denver playoff game, the Tim Tebow miraculous game,
right?
That's exactly how it happened. Robert Ayers Jr., he came on a bull rush, and I'm trying to sit down on him. And then I felt my knee pop, but I stand him up, and I'm like, okay, I got this dude. And then he just reaches over my shoulder and grabs Ben's jersey because Ben is literally right behind me at this point. I'm like, what? and then we all go down. And then, yeah, then I had to come to the sidelines because that knee – I heard it, and I tried to put on like four different braces, but I mean that's just indicative of Ben's gonna manipulate the defense either with his pre-snap read or then on the post-snap when he figures out what you've disguised to him, he's now gonna make you wrong by moving his feet and forcing the coverage to change and forcing the wide receivers to kind of break off their predetermined route so you can finally find some holes. So I mean, it was just a beautiful thing, and that's what I hope Kenny Pickett, you know, gets to, is that feeling, that understanding, but the accountability is first, and I think he's doing a great job in that direction.
No question in my mind. Look, I think of this, you know, you got the young buck, you're in a tough division. It's a little bit rough waters right now, but he's like a duck, man. He's bobbing above the waves. He's staying with it. And I like the fact that, you know, when he talks about it, he says, yeah, number one, I got to protect the ball better. But the good part is he's processing the info. I'm going to go. We'll go all the way back to the beginning. You know, he understands why he went where he went with the ball. I mean, to me, I sometimes you see quarterbacks come back, and I'm sure you've had an experience with a few. Of course, not many because you're always with Ben. But you know, you got to. They come back and like I didn't see that. They're confused. You know. And I went through a number of quarterbacks where the quarterback wasn't quite at the level of, say, a Bradshaw or, you know, a level of a Ben, you know. And certainly, you know, you got some little bit of problem there. And, you know, for Kenny being so young, the fact that he can process the information quickly enough that he understands why he went where he went with the ball and is able to communicate that, get over on the sidelines with Sully and Matt Cannon and be able to, you know, dispense that information back to those guys, it's vital. It's absolutely vital in the growth process. And it makes me appreciate more about the maturity level and the extra year of understanding he went through in that fifth year at Pitt, and that's going to help him in the long run. It may be a little bit troubled now, Max, but I really think this young man is going to be top shelf upside.
Well, and he got coached by one of the best. I mean, I love Mark Whipple. Coach Whipple was his coach, so he made him understand kind of what needed to be done. So I feel confident. And once again, the best part is we get to see it live in action, Wolf,
yep,
this Sunday. We get to see what the growth looks like, and we get to watch that process from a week-to-week basis for the rest of the year. So I'm ecstatic. Well, Wolf, we're going to step aside real fast because, you know, we got the cool breeze coming up next, and we want to make sure we allow enough time for the breeze to just roll on in, like a good morning tide, you know?
Or a fog.
Or a fog,
I would be the fog. That would be me.
Yeah. You know, and for me, I just want to sit on the dock of the bay. You know, Otis Redding style.
There we go.
That's all it is. But here, we're going to step aside so that we can allow the fog / ships to come rolling in on the next segment in the locker room here with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, sometimes you just got to let it breathe, you know. It puts you in the right mindset. Grab your deck shoes, your khakis, and, of course, a nice button down with the rolled-up sleeves. Pop the collar. It's the cool breeze himself, Jerry Dulac, joining us right now. And Jerry is brought to us by Chupka's 2 Cafe, located in the historic South Side, where you can catch all football and hockey action on their 17 TVs and enjoy $3 Coors Lights drafts during all the action. Jerry, how are we doing today, sir?
Well, Max, you know, every Thursday, I look forward not only to chatting with you and Wolf, but I look forward to seeing what words you'll pull out of you-know-what to introduce me. And I enjoy...
The heavens? The heavens you hearken?
Yeah, that's it.
The heavens?
That's it.
Yes.
And I enjoy every superlative you hurl at me.
Well, I'll say this, man. I broke out my Hawaiian shirt for Jerry today because, you know, no party. There's never a party until some fat guy shows up in a Hawaiian shirt. So let it roll now.
Well, Max, this guy is so blue here. And if you are back in your hometown or home state there of Eric, this guy has been blue for 3 days, just like it usually is there. And that's all going to change tomorrow when, speaking of the heavens, they're gonna let go, actually.
Yeah.
Not looking forward to that, Jerry. I have to say, that was not on my forecast because we've been dealing with gray the last couple of days. So, yeah.
Yeah, as a sideline guy from Arizona, going to be a little chilly for you, I'm afraid, on Sunday.
Absolutely. All right. Coming out of the break now, Jerry, what do you think the number one job the Steelers need to accomplish or a position that needs to be, you know, kind of targeted? Obviously, we're talking quarterback. Kenny talking about the fact he's got to protect the ball better, all those things. But what kind of crosses your mind?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Wolf, before I would look at each position, the one thing that jumps out to me with the trade of Chase Claypool, not that he was a major impact or anything like that, but after trading Chase Claypool, if it's possible, you come out of the bye a worse team than you were going into the bye, because now you have traded one of your starters. You have done nothing to make you better. I know they brought in William Jackson. I don't think he was brought in to solve anything. I think he was brought in to challenge guys and to let those guys in the secondary know that if you're going to let 5 touchdown catches go unchallenged and you're going to drop 4 potential interceptions in Miami, that's 9 plays you didn't make.
Right.
I think they want to send a message to those guys that we're not just going to stand pat and tolerate that. The irony of Kenny Pickett wanting to protect the ball more, which he needs to, and they know it, is that that's exactly what Mitch Trubisky was criticized for. Too conservative. Throwing the ball away, you know, protecting against interceptions at the expense of maybe making plays letting guys make plays downfield, which, let's face it, for the most part, we just haven't seen. So so I'm watching practice yesterday, fellas, and I'm looking at this, and let's face it, you've lost 4 of your top 5 receivers from last year now. And the rookie that you drafted to hope to, that you hope would help replenish that stock is on injured reserve. So now you're down to really two wide receivers of any value. And one is George Pickens, who, despite his potential, and we see his awesome ability, still waiting for him to be an impactful player with the exception of one game and a couple catches. And the running back you're talking about playing more has 159 yards. So you look at this, and I don't mean to depress you guys, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking,
I'm tanking.
You know,
I'm tanking, Jer.
I'm watching this and I'm just thinking, you know, this just isn't a very good football team. And to answer your question, though, Wolf, I'm not sure what areas you go to address other than just, you know, you hope your defense, you know, can keep you in games. You know, make some plays. Look, they do have 8 picks. That's the one thing they have done. So we could sit there and say, you know, they didn't, you know, they didn't challenge those touchdowns and they dropped the picks in Miami. They do have 8 of them, and that ranks in the upper eighth of the league. So they have done that, and they're going to have to do more of that. Obviously, having TJ back will help. I'm giving you a long-winded answer to say I'm not sure that there's a lot of areas where I think they're going to magically improve and turn this thing around.
Well, thanks, Jerry, for coming on the show today.
Hey, it's been great. You guys. I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Good night,
the ship set sail. All right. It's leaving the dock in 5 minutes. No.
Well, I do – Wolf and Max, I do want to brighten your day with the Saints coming into town this week and Myron Cope being inducted into the Hall of Honor. Mm-hmm. I will point up to you that it is the 20th anniversary of Myron Cope mispronouncing the name Fakir Brown.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, do I remember that one?
It's the 20th anniversary of one of the great moments in radio history. And, of course, I can't fully tell the story here because we don't want to get in trouble. But it
right.
was
yeah.
that was one of my favorite moments. And I went back and looked, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's been 20 years since that happened. So I thought, how appropriate with Myron being inducted into the Hall of Honor. So yeah. I thought I'd put a little smile on your face.
You did, here's the deal.
After that desultory explanation I gave you prior to that.
Think about this. Yeah. I have, and this is terrible to admit, but I've actually forgotten my anniversary on 2 occasions, right? Okay? People who know me, they understand. And my wife, thank God, she gives me grace. But, you know, I remember exactly where I was at when Myron said that. He's gonna play it right now.
Who was that guy, the cornerback, who allowed it? Fakir Brown, 35.
Fakir.
How?
Fakir Brown.
Fakir Brown. Fakir. Is that the guy? Did I have the guy right? 35.
That's the Fakir.
You could just call him Brown.
Oh my God!
That's the best part of it is when Twinch at the end says he's just trying to hold back that laughter and says you could just call him Brown. I will tell you, fellas, a lot of times when I speak, I go through that whole dissertation. I do that as part of my spiel, and it always brings the house down. When I speak, I can always use the actual mispronunciation of Fakir Brown's name. But, yeah, it's one of the great moments in radio history, and God bless Myron. We all miss him.
Amen. I will tell you, I was in the Superdome. I was walking behind the Steelers bench, and it was right at the 45-yard line going in to the Steelers end when I heard that, and I actually took a knee. I went down on one knee. I was laughing hysterically. I couldn't believe what I heard. And when Tunch said, "You can just call him Brown,"
And I think the particulars there was Tommy Maddox had just thrown a touchdown to Terrence Mathis.
Is that
and,
okay?
And it made it 32-27 to put the Steelers ahead. And, you know, just as a little backstory, too, you know, Myron, before every game, how diligent he was, Wolf.
Yes.
He sat in a booth, and for a number of years, it was a real pleasure and thrill for me professionally to share the broadcast booth with Myron. But he made a point to talk with the opposing PR guy to go over the pronunciations of the tough names on the opposing roster. And so he always made a point each week to do that, to prepare for the broadcast. and that still happened.
That's 20 What's years. I can't believe it. What's his name? Oh, my heavens. Oh, yeah. Jerry, that is just one of the great memories that you've brought up of Chalooch that I can you can't top that one. It was just too funny. He and Myron.
I agree.
It was just such a great time. So looking at this game with the Saints coming in, the interesting aspect is both these teams need to get back on the W, right? Both teams are looking at each other as an opportunity to do that. Who do you think has got the greater emphasis on trying to get that W?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. The Steelers only have two of them, and the Saints at least have three.
Yep.
There's no question, Wolf. Look, you're both talking about franchises. While the Saints franchise, obviously not as proud and successful as the Steeler franchise, they are a franchise that has been trying to find a replacement for Drew Brees, and it just doesn't happen that easily. The Steelers think they have one. Certainly a more than capable one with Kenny Pickett using a number one draft pick on him, but you just don't do that. And everybody, in case they haven't noticed, they're witnessing what happens when Ben Roethlisberger isn't around. And so the Saints have been in that position now for a couple of years. You know, they're going to stick with Andy Dalton over Jameis Winston, but I don't think there's any question, Wolf, when you look at the plight of the Steelers, there's no question they are even more desperate than New Orleans for victory. And we've seen Mike Tomlin face this before. He's been 2-6 before. You know, Bill Cowher told me last week when I had a chance to talk to him, he said in his last year, 2006, the Steelers were 2-6 and they finished 8-8. They went 6-2 in their last eight games. And you know who it started with? New Orleans in week 8.
Oh, really?
Same time. So historically speaking, the irony is that, you know, is that same thing going to happen? I don't know that they have a 6-2, or in this case, 6-3 turnaround in them, but I don't think there's any question they are the more desperate team for a win.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think it's the got to have it zone for a victory, especially when you look at the last half of this schedule, dealing with opponents who are, a lot of them at 500 or below. I mean, only one. I think one opponent you play twice that's above 500. That's Baltimore. So,
yeah, I think Cincinnati sneaked above 500. I think, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
They're the only ones. They're the only ones.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only ones, and that's your three division games, three out of your four division games. So you have to have the victories that are close. When you're in the same area, you've got to rise to the occasion. And outside of your illustrious review of the offensive prowess and capabilities of this team, I mean, I want to say that I think there's still opportunity there. I think, you know, even with the loss of Chase, I think the roles that can be filled by deserving guys, it is an opportunity where you get to see what guys are made of. And, I, you know, I don't subscribe to the school where, hey, we just need to play young guys at this point just to see what they can do. No. You're still in the win zone. We still got a chance at this season. You still need to prove what you can do. This isn't a tanking situation. And I think that's what I hear from Kenny. That's what I kind of get as the feel from the team as it stands right now. And, can you even put a value on the boost that T.J. Watt will give to that defense? Because I know as bad as they were, last time they were out, he changes that dimension greatly when he's inserted into the lineup.
And there's no question, Max. You know, he becomes a red-letter player. He becomes a guy that the opposing offensive coordinators have to worry about. When he's not there, they don't have a red-letter guy, I would suspect. Well, Minka, of course. And possibly Cam. But in terms of guys who have the ability to change the game as quickly as those two guys do. Look, they're turnover machines, they're takeaway machines. And so, and to your point about, going out and seeing what guys are made of, look, I don't have to tell you, Mike Tomlin, as you well know, is not a guy who's interested in just playing out the schedule. He wants to win every game, and that's one of the things he's going to monitor. And, you know, offensively, not to sound cryptic, but let's face it, they really can't play any worse. And so they really only can get better. And so maybe by reducing some of the options, you know what I mean? Maybe by reducing the playbook.
Jerry, I'm sorry. I agree with you on most points because you are such a brilliant orator and one who understands words. But when you say that, let's face it, they can't get any worse. I've been worse. I've been there. When it was, you know, I always cringe when I hear that because, hey, I know that we all know, well, theoretically, you can be worse. But the fact is, I understand what you're saying, where you're coming from. Now, the one thing I got to say about this, is anybody getting nervous over William Jackson coming over and having issues with a low? Is it his low back? Did anybody?
Yeah. Okay. I honestly can't tell you, Wolf, to answer that specifically, whether they are or not. But I'm sure it's something that they're not crazy about. You know, because, you know, as Tom Donahoe
physical,
once
right?
said,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, as Tom Donahoe once said, they didn't bring him in to lead the band at halftime. Right. You know, he's going to play. Is he going to start and change the defense? No. But he's a guy who can run. You know, Terrell Austin had him for a brief time in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He likes him a great deal. You know, we'll probably find out a little bit more today what his status is. But, you know, you look at it, Akella Witherspoon is on that injury report, and so is Levi Wallace, even though Levi was out there yesterday. I'm sure he's fine. Akella Witherspoon obviously aggravated that hamstring in practice the other day. So I'm not going to expect a whole lot of him because you know how that aggravating that injury goes.
Right.
So now you have three, including William Jackson, you have three guys on that three corners on that injury list. So from that standpoint, it's looking good. But, hey, when you get T.J. Watt back, obviously – that's going to make a difference in the defense. Now, we'll see what his conditioning is like, you know, having been out how many games now, 7 games. You know, that might be a bit of an issue. But, you know, if you know him, you know, conditioning is never an issue with that guy.
Right.
Other than the fact he plays so intensely, you know, and competitively that, you know, he exhausts himself sometimes,
right.
even when he's in tremendous shape. So I don't know that that's going to be a big issue, though.
Oh, well, Jerry, all right, one last one for you before we have to let you go because I heard the ship's departing in 2 minutes. We'll make sure you're on.
When the cool breeze is there, the cool breeze is only there for a moment.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, kind of, you know, just thoughts about what you expect to see on Sunday with a Saints team coming in off of a short week, playing a Monday night football game against Baltimore at home, coming into Pittsburgh and playing an early Sunday game, and the Steelers coming off of a rested bye. What's your thoughts about how this game's going to go?
You know, Max, I expect them to win. You know, coming off the bye, I expect I expect them to have great focus. They will do some things differently. I don't know what that is. But I expect them to come in and I expect them to play well. Do I expect them to put up 34 points? No, but I expect them to win. And, you know, the Saints are coming off. Look, anytime you play the Ravens, you know, you're in for a physical game. You know, Andy Dalton got beat up pretty good in that game. You know, and coming off, you know, the Monday night game, I would expect the Steelers to bounce back and see if they can't get this, you know, ship righted and headed at least in the proper direction. I mean, they got a long way to go. As I said, I'm not sure I see a 6-3 turnaround, but I think the schedule is in their favor to have at least a modest run here at the end. I mean, I think it's very reasonable to think they can go 5-4 in these final 9 games. We shall see, but I think that's the one thing that they have going for them.
Beautiful.
All right. I appreciate it, Jerry. Once again, the cool breeze has blown into the locker room port and provided us with a little bit of sunshine. There were some clouds in there. There were some clouds. I can say it was a completely sunny day. Partly cloudy,
you know,
but
welcomed. I just hope I didn't drag you guys down too far. And I hope, like the Steelers, you're able to bounce back.
You know, that's one thing fat guys do best, right, Max? We bounce.
We bounce.
Yeah, we do. We bounce like the buoy off the side of your yacht, Jerry. It's cool. It is cool. But no, but thank you, Jerry, so much for stopping by. We'll see you at the Ball Yard on Sunday. And once again, yes, let it play. Let it play his outro music. because
I feel like doing a little two-step myself. I'll see you boys at the Ball Yard on Sunday, and as always, I look forward to it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. And Jerry is brought to us by Shipka's 2 Cafe, located in the historic South Side, where you can catch all football and hockey action on 17 TVs. And might I add, they're big screens. They're not little screens. They're big screens.
Woo.
And also enjoy $3 Coors Lights. So the cool breeze advises you to enjoy the Coors Lights while you're at Shipka's 2. And once again, that, just a great segment, Wolf. We will react to what Jerry said, especially about the offensive side, when we come back on the other side of this break. You're in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here's the deal. Everybody talks about I'm completely comfortable in who I am as a man, bro. I know I can lead men. I know the game of football, and I'm passionate about it. I have no fear about, are you as qualified as somebody else, bro? I spent 14 years in a locker room. I went to the playoffs 12 times. I got five dudes in the Hall of Fame that I played with. You don't think I've seen greatness? You don't think I've seen how people prepare, how they coach, how they GM, how they work? I mean, won Super Bowls, been to two. Like, here's the deal, man. None of us are promised a good job. I may be terrible at this. And after 8 games, I'll say, God bless you. I am no good. I may be really good at it. I got no idea. But I dang sure ain't going to back down. I can tell you that.
Well, that was Jeff Saturday, the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who are sitting at 3-5-1. And, Max, I got mixed feelings about this. I do like the way Jeff Saturday came out and approached the press, you know, and he acknowledged his inexperience and some of the things that they were, you know, hammering him about. But what's your take so far?
Okay. He had to fight back, you know, and he had to make these statements because everybody was piling it on, because this is it's crazy. I mean, it's a crazy thing. This is probably one of the craziest things, you know, that's happened in more recent history, that you would pick a former player who has no experience, by the way, to lead a football team that's tanking, and then you would have
above high school.
once again, Wolf.
Yeah. Okay.
No, high school. No, stop. It does.
You
stop
mean
it.
That's not a qualifier?
Absolutely not. Listen, and then to go through the resume. I played 14 years, 12 playoff runs, right. A Super Bowl, 5 Hall of Fame. Okay, that's great. You've been around it. You've seen it, right? Listen, I went and saw the Black Panther 2 movie last night. That doesn't mean I think I'm the Black Panther. Somebody asked me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, okay, great. Yeah, I watched it. I was around it. I mean, I don't know. I've been to Africa. I mean, no, that doesn't make me qualified. And I think that's just where I'm frustrated by it, because it's an injustice to all the coaches that have worked in this field to achieve that type of goal and to realize that you can get it by happenstance, you know, for other people. I mean, I think that's the one thing that kind of just pisses me off about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because listen, I love Jeff. You know, I worked in the PA with Jeff.
Right.
Played against Jeff.
Right.
And he's a great human being, a great dude. Let me make sure that nobody's mincing my words here. I love Jeff Saturday, the person. But when it comes to qualifications and being the head coach of a National Football League team, one of 32, I don't think he's the 32nd best option for a job. That's just my feelings, clear and blunt. And when you have Gus Bradley, you have John Fox on those staffs, previous head coaches
right.
of the National Football League, I would be pissed if I'm them.
Yep.
Like, you literally caught – Jeff was on the field accepting a Ring of Honor invitation on Sunday and being inducted into it, and he's on ESPN talking about all 32 teams, and now you want him to come lead one team just because he made some comments about what he thinks the offensive line could do better? Really? Really? That's what you call consulting. That's a consultant's job.
Or you bring in you bring him in as an offensive line coach, all right?
Exactly. But to lead the entire – I mean, because here's the thing. Most important, he's going to have to win the room over, first and foremost, right, of coaches. Not the, I'm not even getting to the players. You've got to win these coaches over. For them not to just mail it in and say, this is absolutely horrible, I'm done.
You know,
you have to rally them first before you can do the players.
Max, you bring up an interesting point. I didn't even think about the rest of the coaches. I was thinking about the impact on the players. But like you just said, very astutely, might I add, my friend, is the fact that you're talking about he's got to win over the coaches that he's surrounding himself with. And when you hear Jimmy Irsay say, he said the last interim head coach that he hired was Bruce Arians. Well, hello. Bruce was already a well-known coach in the league for so many years.
And had head coached above college,
yes,
at that point.
Exactly. My goodness.
Yes.
I just
– So, yeah. You know. To even put Jeff and B.A. in the same breath as far as a comparison is that's ridiculous in and of itself. And not even going to go down that rabbit hole, because that'll just inflame me even more. But it's just – it's front. And then, like, hey, I might be the worst thing ever, and I'll say deuces. You don't hear any other coach – like, if they have a bad year, they're like, I want to get back to the table. I want to write this wrong. That's when you know it's not
right.
A coach. He's not set in this profession. This is literally a hobby that he's going to figure out, right? Like, if I walk on an airplane, Wolf, if we're flying to a game
– Right.
And I look in the cockpit and say, man, that looks cool. You know, I used to play this game called Ace Combat – you know, and fly a plane. It looks very similar. Oh, really? It does? Why don't you come fly the plane today for our flight? Absolutely not. I just made a comment. I liked what I saw. You know, something cool I did one time on a video game simulator type deal.
Right.
I'm not trying to fly 170 people cross country on an airplane and worry about landing and having to take off. Like, that's just not – no. I would respectfully decline that option.
This is interesting now, just thinking about this whole thing and how you know, it's almost like you could see where Saturday it could be propped up as a figurehead, a rallying point maybe. But the problem is, I think there's going to be some tension towards him, people that don't want him to be there. I know this is just mm-hmm. me, and I agree with you. I don't know Jeff Saturday. Everything I've seen about him, talks, you know, everybody that I've talked to that know him, they speak very highly of him. A very, you know, one of those guys that really, you know, is very charismatic and is an excellent leader of men. I'll say that, that's for sure. But that doesn't always boil down to being a head coach. There's so much more there. And I find it really, I don't know, kind of discombobulating that he would take that big jump. Because it's almost like he's being put in a can't-win situation.
Yeah, no, you can't win. And here's my thing, Wolf. If I put you in a situation, I drop you in a maze, right?
I'm already done. I'm so bad with, directions.
there we go. Alas, my point, right?
Right.
Before I even say you can't win, but just being dropped in that maze and having to figure it out, and there's a time limit, and also there's a chainsaw coming, right? You know, let's just go full. Halloween's not that far away, you know, from what we just experienced. And I went to the 13th floor. Never do that again. but, you know, that is essentially you're picking something where your odds are literally about 20,000, being kind, that you will actually have a success and you will resonate, right? Because as you get further into this, and, you know, it'll be interesting. I wonder how that first Wednesday meeting went with the players, but also meeting with the coaches Monday and Tuesday before that. Like,
right.
Hey, fellas, listen, can y'all get me a practice schedule, and can you actually explain this practice schedule to me? You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, I know what practice is. I know what practice should be. There should be about four periods. Defense has them too, right? Yep. Okay. Specialists, what days do we do what? Like, he has not been around this team on top of that. It's different if, even if, okay, let's just say for craziness purposes, right? Say we were the Indianapolis Colts, Wolf, right? And we, and you and I were at training camp. We were around the players. We go to practice. And then they ask you to be head coach.
Yep. And I say,
you
can't do it. Can't do
exactly. Exactly. That is the rational normal response. But let's take it a little bit on the cuckoo crazy side, cray side, and say you do accept the job. But I would have more faith in you, Wolf, because you actually have seen practice. You know what I'm saying? You've actually been around. You've actually talked to the guys before you get into the building and the press conference. So that's where it's like, I would have more faith in you do it because at least you've seen it. You've been around it a little bit more recently that outside of watching a highlight reel of them or giving a call to a buddy down there in Indy, right, you physically put boots in the ground. You've walked in the Southside facility this season.
Right.
I don't know if we can say that for Jeff Saturday. Yep. And who knows if he even resonate with it. They might not even like him on TV. you know what I'm saying? So it's just, yeah.
Yeah. The moment you said we're up at camp and they have you a head coach, I would say, Max, you can shoot me.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
Like, Max, listen, no, let me get the Uncrustable in first, and then after that, we'll talk about that. Had the Uncrustable, then we can talk about that ending life. Unless it's lobster tail night. Unless it's lobster tail night.
Then
we got to wait till after that.
I'll wait one more day. One more day, and then we'll get out of there.
Exactly. Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. The food's just too good up at camp, though. I don't know. I can't. They'll wait till the last of the last meals, you know?
You know what's so funny? When I remember, was it back in the 50s or something like that? The Steelers had training camp in Rhode Island. And that was either Buddy Parker was the coach then or something. I don't remember. All I remember the story was the chief went up to there and he fired the head coach. And they didn't get another head coach in there for like a day or so. And it took 3 days to get the guys. They were all partying on the beach up in Rhode Island.
Before
you get them back in training camp, they had to round everybody up. All the guys were hanging out on the beach and hanging out.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. Oh my!
No, that'd be hilarious. Like, listen, get back here. I have something that's important. Come on, guys.
Oh man! Well,
and there's no cell phones or social media, so I mean, it was either telephone or homing pigeon. I mean. You know, so that's even rougher. Or you physically drive there.
Well,
tell them to get back.
I will tell you, Jeff Saturday had the comment of the day, though. He referring to how he's like rushing to catch up with everybody, meeting with the coaches, meeting with the players, meeting people at the, you know, facility alone. He said it's a little bit like drinking water from a fire hydrant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a fire hydrant, but actually attached with the fireman's hose attached to it. So even more so, it's focalized, right?
Yes, very focalized.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just a rush of everything coming out. Like, they're shooting it directly at your face. So that's what he's experiencing right now. But anyways, Wolf, we're going to step aside. Even though I felt like we kind of got into a little bit of this mode beforehand, maybe this is like the appetizer for the Power Hour, right? We were kind of fired up just there.
You got something in mind, yes.
Well, you know, I want to definitely go with mid-season awards. I just want to get your thoughts, Wolf.
Yep, we'll kick it around.
About where we're at and what it looks like right now. Surprise, surprise, spoiler alert, there are no Steelers on this list. But there are some good people that we've seen this season that might make this list as well. And we will talk about that and more when we come back in the locker room here with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.